All righty, children, come on and join me. Glad to have those Barnes boys back. Got the Graybeck boys back in town. The Barnes boys, that's six boys right there that we're trying to find wives for. How's everybody doing today? Good to see you. You know, next Sunday afternoon, we're going to have baptism at the beach. And that's next Sunday afternoon. And I want to read a story to you today about baptism. Me and Jesus, that's all I can say.
It's John the Baptist being baptized.
I don't think that's John the Baptist there, Jimmy.
No, John
that's Dusty the Baptist there.
No, the one that you're reading is.
Yes, that's right, Jimmy. You are exactly right. John was out baptizing in the River Jordan, and Jesus came out there, and he presented himself to John to be baptized. Does anybody know what John said? Yeah, you ought to be the one baptizing me. Why are you presenting yourself to be baptized by me? And Jesus said, so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. And he was baptized. Now the way he did it, I won't show you the way he did it. Come here, bullfrog, Jeremiah. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? How you like Jeremiah's new hairdo? Isn't that sharp? Man, I tell you, he's had all kind of people rubbing that thing too. All right, you're a handsome young man. You know that, Jeremiah? All right, when I baptize people, when we baptize next Sunday afternoon, we'll take them out in the water, and then what'll happen? Anybody know? What happens, Austin? You dip them down the water, and then, what'd you say, Phoenix? And then dip them back up. Right, that's what we do. We dip them down in the water. We don't leave them down there too long, do we? And then we lift them back up. All right. Does anybody know what that shows when we do that? Anybody? What does it show? It shows God that we're being baptized. Little David? That's right. That you've got Jesus in your life. That's right. That Jesus is coming. What would anybody coming by when they see you out there baptizing people, what are they going to say? They say, oh, is he joining the Boy Scouts? Is he joining the Kiwanis Club? No, what are they going to say?
The Rhino Club.
They're saying that person is accepting Jesus in their life. Now, come back here, Jeremiah. I want to show you one other thing. And we'll do this at the beach. We do this at the beach every time that we talk about it. Because even the act of a person being baptized shows what Jesus has done. He died on the cross, and standing there in the water, we show that. We have died to ourselves because we're submitting ourselves to the Lord. Then you buried. And then what happened? What happened after Jesus was buried?
He rose again.
He rose again. So we do that every time. And it shows the good news. The word gospel. Does anybody know what the word gospel means? Gospel. What does it mean? Well, God shows you. That's true. God does that. But it's a specific meaning. What does gospel mean? It means good news. Can everybody say that? Good news.
I was about to say that.
Luke, I'm counting on you saying that before the sun goes down to somebody else today, okay? I want you to tell somebody that gospel means good news, and it's good news. We have Jesus in our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these children. I pray your blessing on them today, your blessing on their understanding of this good news that Jesus came, died on the cross in our place, and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, that we can have life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. It's time to go to Kids Zone. Wait for Miss Tiffany. Here she comes. All righty. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to Mark, the first chapter. Mark chapter 1. Why are you turning there? You've been keeping up with things that are going on in the world right now. Been keeping up with the things that are going on in the Middle East, in Israel, in the Gaza Strip, where in London yesterday, and in Paris. Did you see the news reports? Other places in Europe. In London, they had accounted for over 10,000 people, and they thought that by the end of the day, it could swell to as many as 20,000 people had come out in the streets to protest, and in some case, to riot against Israel defending themselves against the rocket attacks that have been going on for weeks now. I forget the number exactly. I know several days ago it was already up to over 1,200 rockets that had been launched against Israel. That is innocent people. Now, I know in some of the news cycles you will see that Israel's response, and they're going to show you, they will show you the civilians there in Gaza that have been killed. But I want to remind you of this. Those so-called brave warriors are hiding in schools and in mosques, and they are hiding behind women and children. Brave, brave men that are doing these things. That's a fact. That is actually happening. There was also rioting in Paris. French aren't as particular about numbers as the Brits are, but there are many, many Brits. In fact, the president of France, he's already feeling like he's got too many Muslims in his country. This is not hate speech. This is to inform you of what is going on in the world right now, even as we speak. More Jews have left France in the last 3 months than any time since right after World War II. That'll tell you something about the level of anti-Semitism. And I'll remind you, as a Christian, as you sit here today as a Christian, radical Islam sees you as the same as any Jew. You just as well be a Jew, because in their eyes, you are today. There's only one answer to this world's problems. What is that answer? His name is Jesus. He changes the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls. I was talking to a fellow last week who is a publisher. In fact, it's Ralph Naber's son, Randall Naber, who is the president and publisher of Touch Outreach Publishing House and Ministry. He told me his dad is in the Ukraine right now, even as we speak, and that in the midst of all the stuff that is going on, he said, there's a move of God that is taking place there. Now, let me ask you, have you heard that on any news cycle anywhere? Has that been reported anywhere? But that's boots on the ground. That's somebody that's actually there and observing. There's one network of churches that's grown to over 30,000 people. Just in one that is there in the Ukraine. So as you pray, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the gospel to go to the world. We pray about these things that are going on. As I said at 9:30 this morning, as we had our prayer time, our redemption is drawing near. Our redemption. Jesus is coming back. This world is headed for a conclusion. It's headed for conclusion in the Lord. Now, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The beginning of the gospel, the good news. What does gospel mean? Good news. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. By the way, when you read the book of Mark, Mark talks like an excited, zealous young man. Because what was Mark? An excited, zealous young man. And that's how he wrote, just like he speaks. Now, many would say that Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is the gospel according to Simon Peter. And that was one of his primary sources, as revealed in several places. But bear that in mind. Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in Isaiah the prophet. So what he's linking the scripture at that time. When he's writing this, the New Testament does not exist yet as the New Testament. The scripture, as he is writing this, the scripture is what we would call the Old Testament. So he quotes there Isaiah. Behold, in South Georgia language, that means, look here now. I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Who do you immediately think of? John the Baptizer. Get to that in just a second. Who will prepare your way? Interesting, they talks about a way. What did the people of God, what were they first called as before they were even called Christians? They were called people of the way. The way. Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then his very next words were, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So, he puts these in opposition to one another as they relate. This one who would be the one who would prepare the way, who is that? John the Baptizer. He comes in the spirit of Elijah to prepare and make straight his paths. Let me ask you, when you went out to hear John the Baptizer preach, do you think he beat around the bush? You know, here's a guy who, what did he eat? Locust and wild honey. What did he wear? Skins. I mean, this guy, he looked the part. In fact, I kind of picture him just a little wild-eyed. You know, he comes out there because the zeal of the Lord is upon him too. So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness. Here he is. Now, he's the cousin of Jesus. What has, remember what happened when Mary goes to visit her cousin? He leaps in the womb. So here you have a bearing of witness that that has begun there at that point. And that revelation continues. So he is preaching this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. He can't preach the whole gospel yet. Why? Hadn't happened yet. But it's about to. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. There's this revelation that they know that they need the Lord. Now I want to ask you, the people that are around you, when they're not worried about being popular or being PC or whatever, when they get honest with you, will they admit, you know, something's not right with my life? Something's missing. How many books? How many magazine articles? How many blogs are there on the internet right now that if you came down to the root of it would be, something's missing from my life. Do you feel that around you? Where you live, the people that you're in, do people act like something is missing in their lives? Of course they do. Are people acting like they're fulfilled? Of course not. Not in our culture right now, because they can't throw enough money at it. They can't throw enough alcohol at it. They can't throw enough prescription drugs at it. They can't throw enough illegal drugs at it. They can't throw enough sex at it. They can't throw enough to fill that hole that is in their lives. They realize that. We had that in commonality with the people that came out to hear John. Same problem. And John was clothed with camel's hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist. His diet was locust and wild honey. And he was preaching, saying, after me one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. Who's he speaking of? Jesus, Yeshua. I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Well, I've heard all kind of teaching on that, what that word with means. And it means all of it. It means in, with, by. It means all of it. Heard this guy for an hour. He tried to make a difference between those. And I'm saying, brother, and the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit comes and just immerses you in Himself. And you belong to Jesus. Belong to Him. You're His. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately He came up out of the water. He saw the heavens opening, the Spirit like a dove descending upon Him. A voice came out of heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately the Spirit, New American Standard says, impelled Him to go out into the wilderness. The literal translation of that is, and immediately the Spirit threw Him out into the wilderness. That's what the Word says. Literally. That's what happened. Okay. So Jesus was baptized. Why would the Son of God, who was perfect, by the way, need to be baptized? Why would He do that? What was He showing us? Was everything that Jesus did measured? Yes. Was every word he spoke meaningful? Yes. Was every action something that fit in the larger plan? Yes. So we've got to pay attention to all the detail here. He goes out, and there he's baptized in the Jordan River. Now, a couple of questions we need to ask about that. First of all, so you can get the picture, right? He's out in the river. What does the word baptism mean? It means to immerse, to completely cover, to put completely under. That's what the word means. It's unfortunate that that is one of the words that instead of translating it, they transliterated it. Later on, in other words, that's where we get this funny word, baptism, because it comes from the Greek word baptizo. They just took letter for letter and put it in the language instead of saying, if I was translating it, verse 8 would say, I completely cover you with water, but the one who comes after me is going to completely cover you with the Holy Spirit. If they translate it, that's what it would be. But they transliterate it. And so we have this word then that people can make mean whatever they want it to mean. I know there are different traditions where people use that. They say, well, I'm just going to cover the head. So they use pouring as a picture. And I can see the picture. Some would use just a little bit of water and say that sprinkles down and that becomes a covering there. And I can see the picture there. Not here to argue with those. Those are things that happen and that's up to whoever does those. Some denominations, that is their mode. But as you read the word, if we're going to stay true to what the whole thing is, what it's showing here, he walks out into the River Jordan. And there, the scripture says, John put him under the water. And he brings him up. Now, the picture that I gave to the children, that's one that we like to use. I can't say that I can give you chapter and verse on that. We use that illustration by implication. That standing there in the water, there is a picture of the Son of God's dying on the cross. That you're lowered into the water. That part we can, because you know, Paul speaks of being buried with him in baptism and then raised to walk in a newness of life. Buried with him where we identify with him. Now listen to me closely because I don't want you to get confused here and get confused by traditions. I want to go back. So, you know, most of the questions or all the questions that matter in the earth, if you find any error where a group has gone in error, you go back to their view of Jesus. You go back to what they're saying about Jesus. There's a truth. Just like with the Department of the Treasury, our Treasury agents are trained not to recognize what all the counterfeits are. They're trained in what does our dollar bill look like? What does our currency look like? They're trained, I mean, in detail about that, so then they can spot anything that is different from that. Are you following me so far? Okay. We do that same thing with error about Jesus. We start with Jesus. What's this idea about Jesus? If we're going to talk about baptism, we've got to begin talking about why was Jesus baptized? Did he need to be baptized? Was there a necessity for him, for his sake, to be baptized? Let me phrase the question in another way. Was there a necessity for him, for our sake, to be baptized? Okay. You see the difference. Can you discern the difference in those two? Because in him, we have our example, as the Scripture speaks of him, of all righteousness. He speaks of that in another passage, that all righteousness will be fulfilled. So he's showing us the way. What did he say in John 14? I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So to get it right, we've got to start with Jesus. We're going to get baptism right, we've got to start with Jesus. He showed to us the way. Now, later on, we'll look at what the Scripture teaches, where we're commanded in Matthew 28, part of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing, that's continuous action verb there, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, as we are back, it assumes that baptism is going to take place. Let me ask you this question. So then, let's see. Dix, I hadn't picked on you in a while. Stand up here for just a second. You're in trouble now, that's right. All right, I meet Dixie out, she's walking down Broughton Street, and I come up to her with my, oh man, I've got a great evangelistic approach, and I say, Dixie, are you saved? You know, that's supposed to be a joke. But I discern from talking with her, and Dixie tells me, oh man, I don't know Jesus in my life. So, what I've done, I'm contracted with Mike. Come here, Mike. And Joel, no, you're right there. And come on up here, Brian, you can help me. And Mike and Brian are carrying around the biggest wash tub that there's ever been. It's on wheels. It's full of water. And it's big enough that I can take Dixie. I said, well, Dixie, since you've never, you don't have Jesus in your life, we're going to take care of that right now. And I pick her up. I'm not going to do that right now, Dick. And I throw her in that water. I completely cover her altogether. And I raise her up out. And what do I pronounce then about her? She now belongs to Jesus. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all doing that. I look for y'all on Broughton Street. Now, so let me ask you. Is Dixie any different than before she got wet? She's cleaner where? On the outside. Nothing has happened to Dix on the inside, has it? You know, one of the Roman emperors did that to his army. He said, oh, we want them to all be Christians. Marched them down to the river. Had the priest there, he wet all of them. And I say he wet all of them because he didn't, in the truest sense, they were not baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you get me? So, what does that mean when Jesus said, in another passage, he says, I've got to fulfill all righteousness. What is the righteousness that he's talking about that he's going to fulfill? How do we become righteous? You see, he gave us that example of baptism. He lived this perfect life. 3 years later, approximately, he would go to the cross. Are you following me on this? This is real stuff. If you've checked out by now and you think I'm too mature to hear this, brothers and sisters, you need to check up yourself. Because this is real stuff. This is really where people are living. He died on the cross. So why did he die on the cross? Because of the sin of mankind. A price had to be paid. The penalty of sin is what? Death. The scripture says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone sinned. Therefore, they are not righteous. Scripture says, Isaiah said, there's none righteous, no, not one. So no one is righteous. What does that mean? That for everybody on earth about the ground is level for everyone. There's not one that's more righteous or less. We're all unrighteous before Him. We have all sinned, and therefore we are separated from the Lord. But Jesus died on the cross. He was buried, according to the scripture, resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. And 3 days later, He arose from the dead. Man, I want to sing Up From the Grave, He Arose So Badly. I want to distract you, though. Up from the grave, He arose, a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. He arose. That's why that's the pinnacle. That event, the pinnacle of his first coming, that He would come and take our place on the cross. And then offer to us the salvation, the righteousness that He purchased as a gift. It's a free gift, the scripture says. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't work enough. You can't do enough good deeds. You simply, by faith, must accept Jesus in your life. Little David was sitting right here. What did little David say when I asked the question about what does baptism mean? He said what? It means you've accepted Jesus in your life. Let me see if I can't complicate what he said. You've received Jesus as your Savior. You've put your faith in Him. You've transferred all of your trust and faith from whatever you were trusting in yourself unto Him. You've turned from your sin to Jesus. And then when you're baptized, baptism isn't what saves you. Jesus saves you. Baptism then becomes the picture in living color. It becomes it could be a public profession for you. But you're showing to everyone. I guarantee you. Next Sunday afternoon, we're standing on the beach. People see us, roaming around there and group going out there. We're going to attract attention, aren't we? And you're going to feel eyes looking at you. People are going to stop and they're going to look in. They're going to peer. They're going to watch. And when they see us go out into the water and they see us put someone under, there's not going to be another thought in their mind. Not one. They're not going to think about Kiwanis Club. They're not going to think about Boy Scouts. They're not going to think about, you've just become a federal agent. They're going to think of one person, Jesus. The most ignorant around, the most estranged person, the farthest person away. They're going to look and they're going to see, and they're going to see the gospel being acted out again. Because you see, it's good news. Got it? Got it? What should that spur us on to do? Tote the news. Tell the story wherever you go. You see, that's why I prefer that translation, and I think it is a more accurate translation of Matthew 28, 19. It's actually not go. It's not an imperative mode there. What it actually says is, as you go. The assumption is you're going. This is an even greater truth. The assumption is you're going. And the assumption is that wherever you go, you're going to share the good news. He's alive. And He's coming back. And the events in this world right now are preaching a message to this world. We need to make sure people hear from us, from our lives. Make sense? You got it? Have you received Jesus in your life? Have you? Here's what we're going to do. Dame, where are you? You're right over there. Rick, where are you? You're right here. All right. We've got three pastors here, but we have a lot of deputies here. I'm going to deputize right now. You ready to take the oath? I'm going to deputize. You can put your hand up in the air. What was he deputizing us for? what's that preacher about to do? What I'm going to deputize you to do, I'm going to send you out to be his representatives and share the good news. Ready for that? Okay. Put our hand up. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I send you out with the authority of God the Father, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Jesus, His Son, to share this good news of Jesus. And if you're in agreement with this, you say, Amen. Amen. Take her back to the bathtub. We'll drag her through there one more time. One more time. All right. Now, if you're here today and you've got questions about this, we'd love to talk to you privately today. You can see me or Rick or Dane. Many of us here, we'd love to talk to you. If you're curious, you have questions about baptism next week, we'd love to talk to you about that. Questions about any of this today, we'll sit down, we'll open the Bible, we'll listen to your questions and listen to your heart. But you got to let us know, okay? All right? We cool? All right, there's a basket in the back, two baskets up here, and we'd sure like to get your those cards from you with a prayer request. If you have an offering to bring, John, do we need any offerings this week? Yes, we do. Okay. Still need those offerings this week. And if you can put that $1 million check in that, right? The one we got from week before last, we've already spent all that. That $1 million check. Unlike Forrest, we have seen a dime of that money. But if you have one of those especially, you know, Gary will be there to help you put it in the basket. There. All right? He's holding the basket. Lord, send us out now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. for your love and your care in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're through singing now.